Hello and welcome to EY's Fresh Perspectives podcast series. I'm Verity Pope and I'm part of the employer brand team at EY. I'm going to be your host throughout this series of episodes as we dive into our people's experiences working across our EY business areas. At EY, we're always innovating, moving with the changing times and striving to build a better working world. But how do we do that? Well, by bringing in new ideas, brand new talent and of course, fresh perspectives to our business. The world of work has changed so much over the last 18 months, and what we deliver to our clients has too. So this podcast series focuses on some of our key business areas and what they've been delivering recently. We're speaking directly with our people at the heart of their business, and we discuss things like the new model of hybrid working, what they do in their line of work to make an impact to our people, clients and society, and also about our continued culture of belonging at EY. We hope each episode leaves you wanting to find out more about our opportunities, and inspired to build your career at EY. Our EY law team provides expert advice to domestic and international banks, payment institutions, security firms, financial market infrastructures, insurers, asset managers, and pension institutions. EY law also advise regulatory authorities, governments, and government agencies. They also work actively with market organisations to develop guidance, policies, and leading practices and documentation. In today's episode, we're speaking with Rowan Armstrong, Associate Partner in FS Law, who joined in July 2021, and Geeta Shivaratan, Head of Data Protection at EY, who joined in September 2021. Both provide their fresh perspectives to our law practice and how they see the work our law teams are delivering over the next 12 months. Hi Geeta, hi Rowan, good morning. How are you doing today?
Morning, well thanks.
Yeah, well, thanks, Verity. Thanks for having us.
No, absolutely. No, so excited for this the podcast, all about fresh perspectives, and to talk to you both today, all about the work that you do in our EY law team within financial services. Just for the listeners, can I have a couple of introductions? Rowan, I'll start with you, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. Hi, everyone, and thanks for listening in. I'm an associate partner in EY Law's newly formed commercial IP and technology legal team within the financial services organisation. And I'm a solicitor, and the listeners will be able to tell from my accent that I'm not originally from Britain, but I grew up in New Zealand. I trained and qualified as a solicitor there in 2009, but have been practising law in the UK now for over 10 years.
Amazing, thank you. Geeta, tell us a bit about you.
Hi, I'm Geeta Shivaratan. Thanks, Verity, for inviting me to participate in this podcast. I am a partner in EY Law's data protection practice. I am very wet behind the ears. I have just started as of 5 weeks here at EY. In terms of my practice, I come from private practice where I started and led the data protection team. I actually had a non-traditional route to qualifying in that I qualified in-house in the IP ops and tech team, always with a focus on data and regulated institutions. And so really here to strengthen the practice that was here, which focused on technology compliance and data protection.
Amazing, thank you. So I guess this podcast series is all about fresh perspectives and fresh thinking and how that's kind of, how the last 18 months has kind of impacted the work that we're doing. So I can't wait to hear kind of your fresh perspectives and what you've been kind of bringing into EY since you've joined. You're both fairly new to EY. Can we start with how you came to join EY and also the FS law team, the financial services law team? Rowan, I'll come to you first if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. Well, I was actually practicing law at a private practice firm in London. And as is often the way now, I kind of stumbled across EY. I was contacted out of the blue by the managing partner of EY Law off LinkedIn saying, I've seen your profile. It looks spot on for what we're trying to do with an FS Law. Are you interested in coming across and perhaps starting up the commercial IP and technology legal team within the financial services business? Which is a phenomenal opportunity. The more I heard about EY, the more I heard about the role, the more I liked. And I was eventually offered the job, and I absolutely jumped at it. So now I've been within the organization for about 4 months, building out the team, building out my network within EY, but also the market, and having a really great time doing that.
And then when you obviously have kind of heard about EY and everything you kind of learned along the way, what is something that surprised you about EY, or in particular the financial services team within EY, Law Rowan?
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't know that much about EY being in private practice. I knew that there was a strong financial services team, but I knew very little about the organisation. I've got friends who work in EY across the globe, so I knew that it was a friendly place to work, but I didn't really know what it meant to come into EY to build out a team. But one of the key things that I was really, really keen to have, and it's important throughout my career, is have fun and find a culture and a place where I'd be able to develop and grow and have the autonomy to do what I want to do. And I very much got that feeling within and throughout my interview process, and I haven't been disappointed at all. It's a brilliant place to work, really collaborative, friendly, great culture. So yeah, no, it's going really well so far.
Amazing, thank you. And Geeta, you have joined super recently. I think it's September, is it?
Yep, that's right.
Perfect. So how much did you know about EY, and how did you come into kind of thinking, oh, actually, EY, FS Law is where I want to be? How did that come about?
So it's really interesting, actually. As I mentioned, I started the practice, and I was up for partnership there. And so, you know, very focused on that journey in private practice. And that was always the trajectory that I wanted. I was actually contacted by a recruiter who I met 15 years ago through a contact. And she said to me, she was like, I'm recruiting for this whole new team in EY Law FS. And, you know, I think you'd be great. I've been following your career till now, and I just think now is the right time for you. And so when the opportunity came about, I thought, oh, well, you know, you might as well explore, right? Because I think when you're going into partnership, it's really you're bedding down and you're looking at spending the next, you know, 10 years in that organization to really build. And so I thought, you know, if I'm going to move, now is a sensible time to look and explore what those opportunities are. So that was it. And I guess, you know, when I came to look at the opportunity, it was really about, well, how can I best serve my clients, and how does this align with the practice that I want to build? And the offering for EY in respect of the other stakeholders and practices that we have internally from a data protection compliance perspective really offer that full complement of end-to-end service for clients. And so that was something that I was really interested in, and obviously was enough to interest me into moving and take up the challenge to really build the practice here alongside a number of established practices like our consulting, tax, insurance, etc.
Amazing, Geeta. And I think that ties in really nicely in kind of what I wanted to chat through next, was kind of the specific services that you deliver to clients. So as you know, head of data protection within the practice, could you talk a bit about what you do for our clients, what you deliver? I think the listeners will be really interested to know exactly what we do and how you make an impact on a day-to-day.
Absolutely. So I think the phrase was coined by The Economist, actually, that data is the new oil. And as we see all organizations going through digital transformation, it's really important that data protection is considered through that. And so as a practice, we really have three pillars that we're looking to grow. So the standard BAU compliance stuff, what does that mean day to day? Well, that's policies and procedures, that's looking at vendor relationships and ensuring that regulated provisions are in those contracts. It's looking at overall governance frameworks, data protection regulation in Europe and here in the UK, as it's been adopted after Brexit, has really created this whole cottage industry of compliance. And so there's a lot of steps and auditable documents that clients need. And so we're able to facilitate completing those and ensuring that clients stay on the right side side of those principles-based regulations, which often is a balance of being able to understand the risk of using data within the framework. The second pillar of our practice is the one that excites me the most, and that's strategic projects and digital transformations. And so it's looking at those emerging technologies like AI, like blockchain, like IoT, and seeing how you can leverage data as an asset through those technologies to really improve efficiencies for our clients. And what I would say is that in the financial services industry, it's really interesting because you've got all of the fintechs, you've got the challenger banks, you've got, you know, our big clients, the institutional banks, et cetera. They're all going through the same transformation in really different stages. And so being at the forefront really of those technologies, those data use cases, and seeing them play out. And then the third pillar of our practice is really that regulatory response piece. It's helping clients in respect of their relationship with regulators. Regulators are obviously very interested in how data is being used. It's facilitating those conversations, educating the regulators. We also do the data breach response. So the regulation has introduced, you know, short timeframes for organizations to be able to respond to and notify of data incidents. And so we have a practice that supports clients through that alongside cyber and forensics. So real teaming there within the organization. And then we have the regulation has introduced rights for data subjects to ask for access to their data. It's called data subject access requests. You have to look at it to see if it's relevant, if it includes anyone else's personal data. And so we're able to support clients, again, leveraging our forensics colleagues to support some of that work. So there's a whole remit of work that we support clients with, from day to day to strategic to that kind of emergency response. And it's really, really exciting to be part of an organization that already has deep relationships with our financial services clients and in the industry. To be at the forefront of that work.
Rowan, what about you? It's obviously since you've been here since July, what kind of key services are you delivering to clients on a day-to-day?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the work we do in commercial is incredibly broad and diverse, which I suppose attracted me to being a commercial lawyer in the first place. No one day is the same, that's for sure. I mean, very much like Geeta, we've got three core pillars. The core service we offer to clients in the banking, insurance and wealth and asset management sectors is on their commercial contracts, whether those be drafting and negotiating the commercial contracts or advising on the risks and opportunities which lie within those. I mean, in terms of the contracts we advise on, I mean, it's incredibly broad. So it could be a large scale business process or IT outsourcing. It could be a services or management agreement, IT contracts of all manner and forms, managed services, software as a service, software licensing, cyber agreements, procurement of hardware or software, agency and joint venture arrangements, and all other manners of commercial contracts. I mean, we also advise clients on the regulator's approach to operational resilience and commercial contracts as well, which is quite specific to financial services clients. So that's the PRA and FCA approach and what those regulators require their material outsourcing contracts to contain from an operational resilience perspective. So they're robust commercial contracts. So that's quite a hot topic at the moment with impending deadlines. But the third pillar is also supporting on merger and acquisitions and corporate transactions, where the commercial contracts team play quite a large role depending on the nature of that transaction. So that could be a more straightforward kind of share acquisition where the commercial contracts team will be looking at the underlying contracting base of a target organisation, reviewing it, diligencing it, but also looking at the IP portfolio of that organisation as well. Or perhaps even more interesting from my perspective is where an organisation, a large organisation, carves out or separates part of its business and then on-sells that. And a lot of commercial contracts need to be thought about and put in place in that situation. So, yeah, we cover a lot of ground, all sorts of stuff, which is the attraction for being a commercial contracts lawyer for me in the sector.
Absolutely. What do you find most exciting since you've joined EY's law practice?
Yeah, the differentiator with EY Law is teaming with the consultants, the tax team, the strategy and transactions teams, which aren't lawyers. I mean, I've been just dealing with lawyers really for the last 10, 12 years of my career. So it's really refreshing coming in and seeing a transaction in a different stage, being involved from the early stages on a big outsourcing, for example, and plugging in at that stage and being able to help shape the design of whatever you're doing. So that's a real differentiator, both from my perspective, but also I think from a market perspective as well, that clients can come to EY and if they're doing a transaction, they can get legal advice as part of the overall consulting offer or whatever it may be.
And if I can just follow on from Owen, I think that's absolutely, you know, critical in terms of our differentiator in the market is that, you know, legal advice can no longer be provided. I don't know if it ever could be, but, you know, can't be provided in this environment in a silo because you have to implement that advice and it has to be practicable. And so it's a real benefit to be able to have those other stakeholders within EY that you can bounce ideas off of and really make sure that it's something that works for the client. And so I think in terms of the nature of our advice in that way, it's you often hear, you know, make your advice commercial. I think we actually bring that to life because we're able to see, you know, those different technologies that are being employed in the market or the different ways that organizations are approaching certain issues from a practical perspective. And so it gives us a real strength and depth to the way that we advise clients.
I'd be really keen to hear your views on how you have adapted to the work that you're delivering to clients, how you're collaborating as a team and how that has changed. And I guess the importance of those fresh perspectives and the way we're doing things. How has that been for you?
So for a start, I think there was a lot of bedding down from a team perspective. I mean, how can we possibly do our jobs in a virtual world? I mean, I was always of the school of thought, no longer, but that I could only do my job from being in the office surrounded by my team, where team members could talk to me whenever they liked. I was there to assist them with their development and their career progression, and we could work on projects and deals together. And I was thinking, gosh, how can this possibly happen in a virtual world? Well, I mean, I think for the first couple of months, it was a bit of a bedding in period, and yes, we made it work, but it wasn't that effective until I got used to communicating in a very open door way, but virtually. So to try and facilitate that, obviously I ensured that there were regular catch-ups with the team at an informal level, not just on work matters, so that we had open dialogue and I could check on well-being of team members and vice versa probably. So it was very much organic for a start, and then we got into the flow of it. So regular team meetings, always being available to be contacted via Teams or other online platforms, and just trying to be there virtually and make myself known that I'm there virtually, and vice versa too. I mean, from a client perspective, it was probably a bit the same, but saying that, you get used to it and everyone gets used to the technology, the environment. You realize that, you know, you can make it work by having breakout rooms within the technology. So there was a bedding in period. And now moving to a hybrid world, I think we've got the best of all things as well for me personally as a lawyer. I mean, I can be at home with my head down in the office when I need to be looking at documents, drafting and the like. And then when I'm in the office, I try and structure my day a different way. So I'm making myself available, I'm meetings, I'm talking to people. So the structure of my working day has changed quite a lot for the better.
Peter, I guess I'd be really keen to hear your thoughts because you've really joined so recently and we're now in hybrid working at EY.
Absolutely. So I think what's really interesting is, as just following on from what Rowan said, is that, you know, going into lockdown and working virtually and, you know, almost in isolation from the rest of your team took some time to adjust to. And I think reintroducing coming back into the office and changing, you know, your daily pattern to re-add in your commute or, you know, just how the day flows is again another adjustment. And so I don't think it's just flip a switch and people are going to be comfortable coming back in. What I would say is that because our team is relatively new as a team together, I mean, it's me, but we've also hired two new associate partners to also join the practice. And so the leadership in the team is quite new. And I think in terms of building that collegiality and really team feeling, what I found is actually nothing replaces that face-to-face time in terms of building the energy, building that connectivity, getting people, you know, really invested in the vision and understanding what that is. But also, because we're all new, those relationships are new. And so being able to build the trust in each other, I think it's important that we do have those touch points in person so that when you go to the virtual way of working, that people feel comfortable to connect. So as Rowan said, really making value of the time that we're in the office together. And I think whilst technology is great, and I'm a big supporter, and it you know, it's now so reliable, I think that was the challenge at the start, was standing up technology that was reliable to be able to, you know, have those conversations with clients without saying, oh, I've cut out and whatever else. But, you know, I think you can't replace the face-to-face, you know, time. And so I think the hybrid working will take some time for people to readjust their lives. I think what happened with COVID is a lot of people made changes personally. You know, some people moved out of commuting distance or reasonable commuting difference. And so it's about understanding all of those changes that team members have made and to be able to accommodate for them. While still trying to create that sense of culture and team, which is a little more challenging. But I think what I've realized is that everybody craves it. And so long as the desire is there and the, you know, we'll get there.
Definitely. And just to add to that as well on the hybrid theme, I mean, people have structured their working lives differently now and probably for the better. So someone like me with a young family, it means I'm around all of a sudden for when I'm working at home, that is for the breakfast, the school run. I'm there for bath time, which from a life perspective, it's brilliant. I can see my kids growing up. Yes. And then I can make my work generally move around that. If I was in the office, like was traditionally the case, I mean, I just missed out on that huge aspect of life. So, I mean, hybrid working from a life perspective, a working life and family life perspective, actually has been a real push in the right direction. And it's probably what I needed for the longevity of my career and for the sake of my family as well.
And I think just following on from that, Rowan, you know, I think, you know, a lot of organizations were moving to kind of hybrid remote working anyways and some flexibility. I think law was probably the last bastion of being in the office and that FaceTime and, you know, and you'd see, you know, when you're leaving at 11 o'clock at night, it's only lawyers on the train because, you know, traditionally we're the ones that are stuck in the office to do that client request for 9 o'clock tomorrow morning that landed on your desk at 5. And so I think for law as a practice and as an industry, this has probably been the biggest shift for us, but I think very welcome and required actually to allow people to have that balance to ensure that we retain talent, because there is a recognition that we can do our jobs flexibly but still effectively.
A lot of people listening to this will go, this sounds so exciting. What skills or strengths do I need to bring to come in and make an impact to the team in EY Law?
I can take that one first. I think the first thing for me is, you know, you have to be curious. As a lawyer, I think you can't think that you have all of the immediate solutions. You have to understand, in particular for data, the facts. Each case is going to be different. And as a principles-based regulation that we're applying, it's a real requirement that you understand what the client is doing and how data is being used. And so I think that sense of being curious is really, really important. I think we are often thought of as, you know, don't go to the lawyers because they're a blocker, but really we are facilitating businesses to find solutions. And so, right. you know, it's a real people job. A lot of our job is relationships, being able to mediate and navigate different stakeholders to achieve the outcome that everybody wants. You know, it's not meant to be adversarial unless potentially you're in a dispute situation. You know, I think we're all looking for a commercial solution that suits everybody. In some cases, that may mean yeah. that, you know, you need to compromise. But where is that compromise, you know, something that you can do that doesn't present the client risk? And so I think that's quite important. You have to like to read. Well, the area that I work in anyways is constantly changing. And so there is a need to, you know, be constantly up to date with what's coming out. And that doesn't just happen by osmosis. It doesn't just, you know, happen by tenure. Actually, we're all learning all the time. And so it's not a discipline where you think you know everything. I think if that's what you want, this isn't for you. It's something where you're constantly growing. You're constantly challenged and applying what you've learned in the past to new situations. But that's what excites me about what I do. And so those are my top three.
Yeah, I mean, I fully agree with all of that. I mean, and this is not just specific to law, but communication for me is absolutely key. And as lawyers, we're obviously constantly communicating with teams, with clients, and we obviously have to find the right balance, the tone and the like. So that's very important. I mean, as a lawyer as well, attention to detail is quite yes. important. I mean, as a lawyer, you're taught and it's drilled into you to think in quite a methodical manner, which clients expect, and you need to be quite methodical with your thinking. But attention to detail can make a huge difference in law. I mean, if you get one word in the wrong order or out of place, that can completely change the crux of a clause and have real commercial implications potentially, depending on what it is. So that's the only other thing I would add.
That's so interesting. Thank you. And I guess what's next then? What's next for your team? It sounds like you're really busy. It sounds like there's so much that has changed or adapted. What's next for your team over the next kind of 12 months?
A lot. There's a huge amount we're both doing. I mean, I'm starting a team with another associate partner up from scratch effectively. So, I mean, we're trying to build out our presence internally within EY, make EY as an organization known that we're here. We can do these certain aspects of the job. Externally, we're doing the same with clients and contacts. Internally, in terms of the team, we're developing in every way. We're recruiting, building out numbers. So 12 months time, I think the commercial team anyway will look quite different. It should be a lot larger in size, but also we're building out the capabilities of the team as well. I mean, we're a relatively young team other than the partner level. And so we're really ensuring that the team have got the right training and support they need. All while making sure we have great fun and having a good time within our jobs and lives.
I think that's you know, the same for data protection. It's a very exciting time. There's lots to do. So it's about, you know, building those priorities and focus and ticking things off slowly, maybe not too slowly, off the list anyways, you know, to get there. And I think one of the, you know, most exciting things for me is that as a brand, EY is so established in all of the other sectors. And so for law, it's about, you know, bringing us up to par in terms of the FS yeah. law reputation. And that challenge to me is very, very exciting. And I absolutely see us, you know, in that tier one space, you know, in the maximum next 5 years, hopefully under. And, you know, we can definitely punch up there with what they call in law the magic circle firms in our respective disciplines. And so that's really exciting and a goal that I have set for the team.
And I guess all of that leaves room for growth in the teams and growing teams. So Just such an exciting time to join, and I think there'll be so much to gain for anyone that's listening to this. I have to say thank you so much for chatting with me today. This has been so insightful. It's been so interesting. It sounds like there's a lot going on, and you've both been an absolute pleasure to talk to. So thank you so, so much.
Thank you for making time, Verity.
If you've been inspired by our conversation today and want to find out more about working in our EY Law team, search EY Law UK online. Thanks for listening and take care.